Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation. You ever notice that they never turn on this speaker system until we've sung that hymn so that I won't be on the loudspeaker system during the singing? Merry Christmas and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this fourth Sunday of Advent as we continue our preparation for the celebration of the birth of the Christ child. Those of you that are visiting with us this morning, we want you to know that you are very welcome in our service this morning, and we hope that you will come back to visit us very often. I ask that members and visitors alike please register your attendance as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, and then pass those back to the center aisle so that the person sitting on that aisle can tear those off and place in the offering plate. A reminder that next Sunday morning we will have a worship service at 11 o'clock. This will be a come-as-you-are worship service. You don't have to worry about getting up and getting dressed in your fancy Sunday clothes. Come as you are, but please be here for our 11 o'clock service next Sunday. There will be no breakfast and no Sunday school next Sunday. We will have a candlelight communion service on Saturday, December the 24th, Christmas Eve at 6:30 p.m. There will be a nursery for infants and preschool children for that, so please make plans to attend that also. Also a reminder that the church office will be closed on Monday, December 26th, in observance of Christmas, and then on January 2nd, in observance of New Year's. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. We're marching to Bethlehem to ponder the promise of the prophet. We're marching to Bethlehem to sing the carol of the angels. We're marching to Bethlehem to greet the Savior of the world. Come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King.
Thank you.
please be seated. Join me in the invocation that is printed in your bulletin. O God, never ready to heed our demands, but ever ready to hear our pleas, prepare us for the scandal of your advent. Deliver us from the pride of the mighty. Let us not forget that the Son of the Most High was the child of the Most Low. Remind us, as we celebrate your birth, that we kneel not to adore the Lord of the mansion, but to worship the Lord of the manger. Amen.
Hear me. I have good news. I'm a shepherd, an ordinary shepherd, not an educated man. I tend my flock alone up in the hills except for my brothers, and the sheep, of course. We steer by stars at night when it's quiet. We work hard. In the spring, we clip the wool and sell it. In the winter, we graze near the hills, near the brook. We don't have much. We live on our feet. We move easily, unburdened by goods, unburdened by ills. We roam. Nonetheless, you must believe this, for it's true. This night, I have heard a frightening and wondrous thing. My brothers and I were tending our flocks as usual. It was late and dark and quiet. We were dozing by the fire when the sky shone and an angel appeared to us. We were terrified. We fell down to the ground and didn't look up until the angel told us to. And the angel told us not to be afraid and said the Messiah was born in Bethlehem, in a stable. Tonight, at least, I have the knowledge that surpasses the wisdom of all humankind. I have heard the heavens speak and have seen the stars sparkle, and I know that God is at work in the world. I have direction. I go to Bethlehem. I have a Savior.
As we come to our time of prayer, I'd like to lift up a few concerns to make you aware of them. One is our Minister of Visitation, Lewis Sherrod, has been in the hospital this past week, had some fluid on his lungs, and is home now, but may have some further treatments to come. Let us be in prayer for Lewis. And we also need to remember Granger Smith, who had some major surgery in Charleston this past week, came home late last night, is now at home. For Jim Everett, for Dr. Bill Klauber, both recovering from surgery, Clyde Watson, home. Ruby Miner at home, Effie Adams, Beth Gray, Joyce Bartless and her treatments, the mission team of youth and adults that are traveling to Mississippi, your former pastor, Reverend Patty Griffith Falal, Lieutenant Brad DeLoach, and Brett McCord Bly. We have all these concerns as well as our personal concerns in our hearts and our concerns for the world, for our families, for situations only we are aware of. Let us go together to God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy Father, the searcher of all our hearts, you have formed us as a people and claimed us for your own. As we come to acknowledge your sovereignty and grace in this place and to enter anew into covenant with you, reveal any reluctance or falsehood within our hearts. Let your Spirit impress your truth on our inmost being. And receive us, we pray, in mercy for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us give thanks for all God's mercies. God, you have been gracious to us through all the years of our lives, and we thank you for your loving care, which has filled our days and brought us to this time and this place, in this season of wonder and grace. We praise your holy name. You have given us life and reason and set us in a world filled with your glory. And you've comforted us with friends and family and with fellow members of this church. You have ministered to us through the hands of our sisters and brothers. And you have filled our hearts with a hunger after you and given us your peace. You have redeemed us, all that we are, and called us to a high calling in Christ Jesus. You have given us a place in the fellowship of your Spirit and a place to serve as witnesses through your church. You have been our light in the darkness and a rock of strength in adversity and through the temptations we face. And you have been the very spirit of joy in our joys and the all-sufficient reward in all our labors. We thank you for the privilege of continuing the ministry of your Son. You have remembered us even when we forget you. And you followed us even when we tried to flee from you. And you have met us with forgiveness each time we have returned to you. We thank you for your patience and your overflowing grace. Lord, we lift before you now the concerns of our hearts for this world and what we have made of it. For our families and situations that we lift before you, not knowing which way to turn and need your guidance. For old bitterness and grudges where we need an extra bit of your grace and love to be the one to go and make peace in this season of peace. And for truly thankful hearts for all that we have. An overflowing thanksgiving that we share freely with others around us. Father, hear the prayers of our hearts and open our hearts to hear your Spirit to guide us from faith to deeper faith. We lift before you now our private prayers in a moment of silence. Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray as your Son taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. I invite the children down front now for the children's message with Lee Roberts.
Good morning to everyone. How are y'all doing today? Come on down. Come on down. Well, I want to ask y'all a question. Who's supposed to go in this manger right up here?
Jesus.
Baby Jesus, that's right. Well, this time of year we talk about Jesus being a baby in a manger, but we really don't think too much about what it was like when Jesus was growing up, do we? We don't have very much of that information. But you know what? Jesus was a boy and a little kid just like y'all. When he was a baby, he got hungry. And what do babies usually do when they get hungry? They get thirsty. But how do babies let you know that they're hungry and thirsty? That's right. They cry. So his mommy and daddy would pick him up, and they would hug him and snuggle up with him and give him some food. And sometimes when baby Jesus would fall down when he was starting to learn how to walk, can you imagine that? Baby Jesus had to learn how to walk just like y'all. But if you have younger brothers or sisters and you've seen children try to learn how to walk, what happens? They fall down, right? And when you fall down, sometimes you hit your head, or sometimes you fall on your bottom, or you... Oh, my goodness. Well, we'll talk about that in a minute, okay? But sometimes when children are learning to walk, you fall down and you skin your knees and you start crying. And what do? You run to mommy and daddy. Get a Band-Aid. I don't think they have Band-Aids back then, but they sure do now. But what that would happen would be the mommy and daddy would pick up baby Jesus. That would be Mary and Joseph. And they'd hug him and snuggle him and make him feel good. Well, you know what? That's what God wants us to feel like all the time. God wants us to feel like we're being hugged by Him. Because God is our Father. God is our Father in heaven. We have mommies and daddies here on earth, but we have a Father in heaven. And He is only as far away as what we can think. So when you get tired or scared or hungry or just don't understand what's going on, we can get a hug from our Heavenly Father. Let's have a prayer. Bow your heads, okay? Dear God, thank you for being our Father in heaven. You are as close as a thought or a prayer or a mental hug. We know you are always with us, and you will be with us when we need you most. Amen.
Now is the time when we share God's love, God's peace, a pat on the back, a shake of the hand, a passing of the peace. Let us greet one another in the love of Christ. I will ask our ushers to have a seat for just a moment because we have a few moments, the last of our four speakers on stewardship. Marilyn Murphy will be speaking to us on stewardship of the body before our collection. So the ushers can have a seat.
Actually, Jim forgot me this morning, but it couldn't have been more perfect because what I want to tell you about is when a church that I was visiting, the ushers were about to come forward to pick up the offering plates, and the senior minister, he stretched out his arms to the congregation and he prayed, "Give until it hurts. Amen." That's it. That's all. That was the prayer. What followed were a few chuckles and a lot of shifting in the pews. I was rather surprised myself by the prayer, but I didn't forget it as I pondered over its meaning. I since learned, "Give until it hurts," was once a widely promoted United Methodist financial giving campaign that had been preached from our pulpits and paraded through our financial committees. The problem with that theme is that it sent a negative and a painful message. In 2004, I was privileged to be elected as a general conference delegate from South Carolina. At that two-week conference, I heard another financial theme that I also could not forget. Give until it heals. Selected to give the official general conference sermon was Bishop Bruce Blake from Oklahoma. In that sermon, he told us about the visitation after the death of a Ponca tribe member in the Oklahoma Indian Missionary Conference. The visitation turned out to be a sharing and a giving from the family instead of to the family. Thousands of dollars of gifts were given to members of the tribes and their friends. If persons needed food, they were given food. If they needed household goods, they were giving household goods. Some were given blankets and shawls. Bishop Blake told about his surprise at this giveaway, since in our culture, we give to the grieving family, the grieving family does not give to us. A year later, he returned to the tribal center for a traditional year-end of mourning gathering. Again, there was a giveaway. Special gift was given as before. Bishop Blake lifted his foot out from under the pulpit, and he showed us a pair of beautiful handmade moccasins that he had been given. When he asked a granddaughter to explain the tradition, she smiled and said, "We believe that you can accept death better by giving than by getting." The Ponca tribe family members had smiles on their faces, and they were full of joy as they gave to others out of their tragedy. In that moment, Bishop Blake's General Conference sermon was decided, and a new financial emphasis was formed in his mind: give until it heals. Isn't giving until it heals much more biblical than giving until it hurts? In Acts 20:35, Jesus' words are recalled: "It is more blessed to give than to receive." If we are going to be cheerful givers, we're not going to give until it hurts. Freely receive and freely give does not express the idea of giving until it hurts. Just the opposite occurs. We want to give until it heals. As a middle to upper middle income denomination, United Methodist in the United States are now almost last in per attendee giving. You've heard it before. We don't have a money problem. We have a giving problem. If we as United Methodist would give until it heals, we too would be celebrating and full of joy in fulfilling God's mission. Instead of a limited budget, wouldn't it be wonderful to accomplish unlimited mission? As we make our commitment today, let us be like the members of the Ponca tribe and get caught up in the joy and the vision of giving until it heals.
Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, and our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you that you have entrusted a portion of its wealth for our short lives, to meet every need of ours and for every good cause. We return a portion, a tithe unto you. Bless it to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
This is the first lesson from Isaiah. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. This is the second lesson from Micah. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. When the Assyrian invades our land and marches through our fortresses, we will raise against him 7 shepherds, even 8 leaders of men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
This is the third lesson from Luke. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Well, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The fourth lesson from Luke. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the word of the Lord. The fifth lesson from Luke. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This is the word of the Lord. The sixth lesson from Luke. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. The seventh lesson from Matthew. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, and the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they'd seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
As we come now to our time of personal consecration, I have first one announcement. I apologize, I did not open the gym last week for basketball. There will be basketball tonight at 7. I will open it and be here. But as we need to explain just a moment our time of personal consecration and how we will go about this, first a story. A kindly grandmother who no longer watched much TV or kept up with the passing trends had no idea what to buy for her family one year, so she decided that choosing gifts was just too much trouble. So she wrote out a check for each loved one, and she inscribed on plain little cards, "Buy your own present." That's sweet. But weeks later, she found all those checks unmailed, hidden up under some catalogs, but she had sent the cards. What her loved ones actually received was empty cards which said, "Buy your own present." Empty, empty mocking words, if they remain words alone. Now, personal consecration is a time when you can come forward and you can kneel if you wish, and we will do it in an organized way. We'll have the choir the opportunity first. You can come kneel, you can stand where you are, or you can come stand near the altar. And if you wish, you prayerfully decide just how much flesh I am willing to put on the bones of the words, "I belong to God." Personal consecration is more appropriate at Christmas than any other time of year. Why? Because this is a season in which we celebrate and take joy in giving. To consecrate simply and profoundly means to set apart for God's use. Now, personal consecration sounds like a high-flying term, but it is something even a child can understand. How much of me belongs to God? We like to say that without thinking about it much, "Well, of course, all of me belongs to God." Well, let's listen to the Apostle Paul. He says in Galatians, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Now you see, Paul's words indicate complete surrender. How do we approach, and in what ways do we surrender ourselves and our desires and our time and our talent and our treasure and our health to God? Words are not enough. So the question of personal consecration becomes, how do I show in personal, tangible ways that I belong to God? We've moved way beyond the Old Testament ways where you brought the best of your flock and the best of your crop and you sacrificed it on the altar. What we are to do is to give the best of ourselves. A tithe of riches and perhaps more. A tithe of time and service to others through the church and perhaps more. A tithe of your talent used for God. An intentional stewardship of your health by caring for the body that God gave you to live in. Today we have the opportunity to come forward or to stand in place and to consecrate in a personal and private and prayerful way our time, our talent, our treasure, and our body for God's use. More than words, in fact, it is a covenant between you and God. You keep the card that we sent you in your pocketbook or at home. You use the magnet that we sent you to put it on your refrigerator or your microwave or your file cabinet to remind you of your personal covenant with God. You bring nothing forward but yourself and your prayerful submission of your time, talents, treasure, and care for your body. You bring only yourself. You bring no card this year, only yourself. Today we consider what we will bring and set apart for God's use. And I ask you, as we prepare to do that, to please turn to number 607 in your hymnal. This is not in your bulletin, but please turn to 607 in your hymnal. And we will begin in this way, and then I will ask the ushers, I will first direct the choir to come forward on one side, then go up the other side, be seated. I'll ask the ushers to come forward and give each row in turn the opportunity to come forward for prayer. And we'll have music playing during this time. If you wish to stand in place, that is fine. If you wish to come forward, that is fine. But bring only yourself and a prayerful concern for commitment to God in the coming year. Join me in number 607. Let us read in unison the covenant prayer. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. I will ask that we move the manger out of the way, and I'll ask the choir first to come forward as they feel led for a time of personal consecration as we enjoy some music that Joyce will provide. we make here on earth, may the covenant which we make here on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Please record your prayerful commitments of personal consecration and keep them near to you or on your person in the year to come. I ask you to turn to our closing carol, number 249. Let us stand and sing together. As you leave today, I'd like you to welcome Gary and Kim Clark as new members transferring here, along with Kim's son, Marshall Dotson, who comes as a preparatory member. They will be active, I think you know, because Kim was our reader today during our lessons and carols. Please invite them to your Sunday school class or other activity you think they would enjoy. I ask them to stand with me as we leave today. Now receive this blessing. Babe of Bethlehem, Creator God, Spirit, Comforter among us. Lord, we experience you in so many ways, in the ways we need you today. Touch us and bless us that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.